left eye that I noticed that, you know, well, I need to take care of this. And when I totally got retired from Encore, they said, we're going to take away your driver's license, and, you can't drive no more. So Encore is going to do with you what they're going to do. So at Encore, first of all, Encore Electric is a very good company, but everybody needs a driver's license because it's a utility company that provides an electrical service to the people. So we all need a driver's license. So I couldn't have a driver's license no more. So they said, just go ahead and you have a good pension and, you know, retire and, you know, have a good life. Enjoy your life, you know. And being that, my niece said, well, now that's great news. Now we can get rid of your pickup truck that's taking space in my garage and get that pickup truck out of here. So I called the Knights of Columbus and got reactivated through the Knights of Columbus at Prince of Peace. Bill Weber, who was in charge of the wheelchair mission, said, hey, we're going to Mexico. You care to join? So I said, that sounds like a fun trip. In 2021 is when I went to Mexico. So I started to become active with the Knights at Prince of Peace since 2021. And then, you know, the rest was history. Once you become active with the Knights of Columbus, and I went down there with Dan Stoffel, and I got to meet him and got to meet the clergy at Prince of Peace. And then, you know, it just grew. The activities, there are just so much activities at the through the Knights of Columbus, through Prince of Peace. It's just it's a beautiful experience. And I'm pretty sure other parishes are the same way, but Prince of Peace is special in the sense that there's always something going on. We've got St. Vincent de Paul, we got the Prayer Shawl Ministry, we got the confirmation classes, we got Bible study classes. So there's a lot of activity there when we're doing our meetings through the Knights of Columbus that we also do men's formation. That kind of helps you grow in your spiritual life as a Knights of Columbus. So as a Knights of Columbus, you work your way up through the ranks, and now me and Dan are fourth degree Sir Knights. But when you join, you work up the ranks from first, second, and third degree, and you know you become a fourth degree, and you know the rest is history.
Yeah, sure is. And now you're Knight of the Year, and I want to make sure we get plenty of conversation about this. And okay. So thank you, Alfredo.
You're welcome.
Alfredo Gamboa, Knight of Columbus for 16 years. He's a key member of the Prince of Peace Council 11716 in Plano, along with Dan Stoffel, who has served. He's currently a trustee. He's also been a Grand Knight and a District Deputy for the Knights of Columbus as well. So Dan, take us back. You're the Knight of the Year a couple of years ago. Another gentleman was it last year from Prince of Peace. And then when it comes to the nominating time, tell us why you thought of Alfredo. And then you wrote this 2.5-page letter kind of singing his praises, and it's way too much for me to read.
Oh, yes.
Tell me that process, and why you thought Alfredo would be a good choice?
Well, the award comes from the Dallas Diocese Committee for the Knights of Columbus, and they give this award every year. And to my surprise, a couple of years ago, my friend Bill Weber submitted a nomination for me. I do a lot of things with the Knights of Columbus. He contacted my wife and said, hey, can you check Dan's calendar and see what he's done? So she put together a summary for me, including my wheelchair trips, and I was awarded the Knight of the Year. The next year, it went to our past Grand Knight, Ben Owani, who is also a district deputy, very involved in the Knights of Columbus and the Catholic Church. And then with my interaction with Alfredo, it was very easy to nominate him because he does so much, but people don't know about it. I'm actually his chauffeur a lot of the time, so I can hear about a lot of the things that he does. For example, when he first joined the Knights of Columbus, within about 3 months, we were making the plans for the wheelchair trip to Mexico. We were going to go to Tampico, Mexico, to deliver wheelchairs to needy children. And I found out that Alfredo and his niece Debbie are going along. I said, you're hardly a member of our council. You're already going along. He goes, yeah, I'm all in. So that's when I first got to meet him. And we went on a wheelchair mission last year to Saltillo. And because Alfredo can't see very well, I was helping him check out of his hotel room. And as he's checking out, I said, hey, Alfredo, you forgot some things over there on the desk. And he goes, no, Dan, I'm leaving those for the maid. I said, what? He goes, yeah. I said, there's some shoes over there and some socks, some pants. And there was a very nice note written in Spanish about how Jesus loves you and a little quote from the Bible and some pesos. And I go, who does that? That the only person that would do that is someone that's going to be Knight of the Year.
Yeah.
So it was very easy to do.
So you handed me these three sheets of paper, and this was, it says, candidate for Knight of the Year, Alfredo Gamboa. Please consider Alfredo Gamboa as a worthy candidate for the 2024-2025 Knight of the Year. And I'll just read a couple of them, and I think it's interesting because after a page and a half, you kind of put another little point and say, oh, by the way, he's blind after all these. And so it starts off, Alfredo, currently the inside guard for Council 11716 at Prince of Peace. He works in prison ministry. He attended the July 4th Color Corps. He attended the Clergy Appreciation. He, a leader of the Prince of Peace Corpus Christi Eucharistic Procession. I mean, on and on and on. He prays the rosary daily. He volunteered to place small flags around the parish. I mean, even for somebody with no disabilities, this is a lot. And then you, in the next paragraph, you say, oh, by the way, he's blind. And so did you have any kind of feedback from the committee that, you know, to let, did they say this is kind of a no-brainer? This guy's amazing, and he's doing this all with a disability, right?
Absolutely. The committee consists of four guys, and they came back to me later and said, Dan, we're reading this, and we realize that this knight is very involved in things. And then when we see that it's Alfredo and he's blind, it's like, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
No-brainer.
And Alfredo, I've never suffered any kind of, you know, loss of a blindness like what you have, the loss of eyesight. But I would imagine you can go one of two ways. You can either sulk and maybe get mad at God and, you know, say, why me? Or else you can go the complete opposite direction and say, I'm going to make the best of this. Clearly, you've chosen the second path. Tell us about that decision. When you found out that you were losing your vision, did you go through a time of despair or maybe upset with God? Or did you immediately say, I'm going to make the best of this?
Well, you know, let me just say that I would like to credit the United States Marine Corps for that. It's amazing. The discipline, the outlook, it's just the training that I received when presented in that situation. You don't have time to sulk, at least in my shoes.
So you're a Marine?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So,
okay.
You know, we're going to take that battle. We're going to take that hill. We're going to, you know, hit the ground running. What's next? You know, I don't have time to be thinking about, sulking about that. You know, there's a lot of stuff to do. And there's a reason why God chose that path for me and the reason why I'm in that situation. So I took it to the cross and I gave it to him. I said, okay, here, I'm here, right? So I have whatever vision I got, I'm going to dedicate it to you. So in that aspect, boy, did he ever, right?
Yeah.
He really showed me the scriptures. He really showed me his presence. He really showed me my brothers and sisters. So when you have that type of vision being given to you that's left after he's taken away your other vision, you got nothing but to do all those things that you do for your brothers and sisters.
Yeah. So, you know, Dan wrote this out, and there's a lot of things you do. Can you kind of maybe highlight two or three of the volunteer things that you do in the Dallas Diocese that mean a lot to you and why you chose those? So what are some of the things that you do on a regular basis that mean a lot to you, and why did you choose those?
Prison ministry comes to mind because it involves being in scripture. It involves study. It involves being up to date with the current events. And that being said, also through St. Vincent de Paul, through the food ministry, through Catholic Charities, being involved in the food donations, the food pantries at St. Mark, through the Dallas Diocese. That also has a lot to do that's important for me because it involves prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Mm. Because of that prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, that is what really makes it to where I'm able to accomplish the prison ministry, the food pantry. Excuse me. The food pantry. And that's dear to my heart.
Yeah.
Because God is giving me a vision every morning. Okay, here's your next task. Here's what I want you to do. Here's the scripture I want you to read. Here's what I want you to say to the food pantry, the people that are in line to get food, the prison ministry. Here's I want you to talk to the inmates. Here's what I want you to say in the Knights of Columbus meeting. He has given me that vision, our Heavenly Father, for me to accomplish that. And I'm living that every day through the radio. I make the most out of everything. So to answer your question, I don't have time to sulk. I don't have time to have a pity party. Every day I'm active. I'm actively looking for the presence, looking for His word. What is next? And He gives it to me. He gives it to me, and it's about obedience, mm-hmm. Repentance, staying in a state of grace, going to church. All of that is very important for me. For me to be an active member through the Dallas Diocese, through the Knights of Columbus, through St. Vincent de Paul, through Catholic Charities, I have to be ready. And that's all part of Marine Corps training, or really any kind of military training. But anybody can really do it once you decide to do it.
Yeah,
so if you have a disability, don't sulk.
We got about a minute and a half total.
Okay. So. Let me tell you one more story that he left out. He's a kind of a humble guy. We help at St. Vincent de Paul organization with Prince of Peace. We take in about $10,000 a month to help people that are homeless and need help with utilities. He helped a man that came from Venezuela, and he helped him get a job here. This man was so grateful, he came up to Alfredo several months later and said, "Alfredo, I was a pastor down in Venezuela. Here is my Spanish Bible that helped me get through this treacherous journey." Mm. That was one of the things too.
Well, that is awesome. Congratulations!
Thank you. It's
very exciting, and I'm so blessed. And also, I know one thing that you can't do this on your own. I mean, you couldn't get up here even for this interview without Dan as your chauffeur, as you mentioned. And so, Dan, you are a blessing, and congratulations. Two of the Knights of the Diocese, the Knight of the Year in the Dallas Diocese, Dan, a former Knight of the whole state of Texas, and so quite impressive. So thank you for both of you for being here today for this interview. This has been the interview of the week. And I always say this is an eclectic show because you just don't know from week to week what kind of topics we're going to have. I've had all kinds of topics on this program, and we're very blessed to have you both in the studio. If you have any suggestions for future interviews, please email me directly, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. And I am so grateful that you're listening. And also, thank you for supporting Guadalupe Radio also, because without your support, we can't do interviews like this. Introduce you to cool people like these two guys.
Thanks to Cicero Anderson
for running the board. And that's going to do it for the North Texas Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
God bless you.
Our GRN sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to join UDallas for Arete, an introduction to the classics. In this two-week, all-inclusive summer program, students earn 3 hours of college credit, experience life on UD's urban campus, and consider what it means to live nobly. Learn more at udallas.edu/arete. That's udallas.edu/arete.
Welcome, and thanks so much for joining us for the North Texas Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network in North Texas on 910 a.m. to the east, KCPP 1140 a.m. to the west. And don't forget about the GRN app that you can always download and listen to anywhere in the world, and also our live stream at grnonline.com. This is an opportunity where we get to tell you about cool things going on in the Catholic world. And I recently had the great blessing to speak to the Sarah Club of Dallas a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking about my testimony and how much I appreciated the Sarans. And afterwards, I met a gentleman who was there, Steve Mentisana, And we had another bond in that we both have special needs sons. And in his case, Steve and his wife, Sharon, have a special needs son whose name is Steven. And he's 29 years old. My wife and I have a special needs son who's 12. And so we bonded. And so anyways, they are here today to talk particularly about a house that they own called St. Thorlak House, which is a companion care home where currently they have two adult special needs men. They're looking for more, and just how overall they want to provide hope for families like mine who have special needs children, because it may seem a little crazy at times, but there's always hope, and they're great. And it's such a blessing to meet them. So Steve and Sharon Metasana have been married for about 37 years. They are parishioners at Mary Immaculate Parish in Farmers Branch. Sharon is a graduate of Mary Immaculate School. Their daughter teaches there, so they have very strong ties to that parish and that school. So anyways, welcome to both of you, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Dave. For having us.
Yeah, and I'm so excited for this because I know I'm not alone. Paul and I, you know, have two daughters like you all do, and we also have a son like you all do who has special needs. And I know there are a lot of people out there that have special needs children, and they just are like, what are we going to do, especially in the future, with our child? Because we love our children regardless of their, you know, capacity or what situation they have. We want the best for them. And so this is really an opportunity to give them hope. So let me, first of all, just talk about, Sharon, you want to share a Bible scripture passage, because there's no coincidences. And I know this will be perhaps kind of the basis of what we're going to talk about today. So do you want to share that and kind of the background
for sure
behind that?
So this comes from Jeremiah chapter 29. And it was brought to me this week and through the Hallow app and the Lenten Challenge. And it fits perfectly with the message that I am being called to share today. Because this is not my message and this is not my reason for being here. This is all providential. So yes. The verse is from chapter 29. For I know well the plans I have in mind for you, plans for your welfare and not for woe, so as to give you a future full of hope. When I call you to me, I will listen to you. When you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, for I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. I will fight for you, and I will not withdraw my merciful love from you. And so, my beloved, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. Come to me. Return to me with all your heart. For behold, I am with you always. Do not be afraid.
Oh, wow. Gosh, I've heard that passage before, but in context of what we're talking about right now, it is so meaningful and so powerful. And it almost brings tears to my eyes to think about, you know, not only our family, but other families who are in similar situations. And I hope many of them are listening right now.
Oh, and trust me, sometimes the Lord has heard my voice loud and clear, and I have sat and screamed, and I know he hears me, whether my voice is quiet or silent, or I'm screaming in anger because I don't know what to do.
Yeah. And I know y'all have found a place of peace in regard to your family, especially with your son, Stephen, who, like I said, 29 years old. Let's go back and talk about your family, the dynamics, you know, when you found out that Stephen had autism. Just tell us about the early years and perhaps even some of the struggles and some of the hardships that y'all went through. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. Stephen was diagnosed officially when he was 3 years old. At about 18 months, my motherly instinct said something's awry. And our pediatrician didn't know much about autism, so didn't really lead me there. As a matter of fact, even made the statement, well, he's not autistic. He lets me touch him. Like, that was his point of reference.
Yeah.
And we began pursuing therapy through Easter Seals, which was, fantastic beginning, early childhood intervention through the public school But most importantly, divine intervention prevails because my gut said, I need Dr. Delgado. I taught his children at Mary Immaculate School. And I called him personally and I said, I feel like I need you to see my son. He's a neurologist at, he was a neurologist at Scottish Rite Hospital at the time. And I said, look, I'll just bring him to your house. I know Stephen doesn't have any ambulatory reasons to be at Scottish Rite, but could you just see him? And he's like, set you up with an appointment. And that was the beginning. He diagnosed Stephen at 3 years old, and which was such a blessing. So we could start early. Stephen was kind of very, very slow in developing speech and that kind of thing. Fast forward, it came time for preschool and schooling and what are we going to do? And at this exact same time, our daughter was being diagnosed with ADHD and dyslexia and all kinds of learning differences. And Catholic school just didn't seem like maybe it was the right fit for us, for her, even though, or for Stephen, even though we felt very strongly since we were raised in Catholic schools. So we pursued public schools. I researched which public school, what I thought would best serve our family's needs. We packed up, we moved to get into a school district locally that we felt would be positive experience. And it was. And that began...
For Stephen also?
For Stephen as well. Yeah, he started PPCD, preschool for public preschool for children with disabilities. And our kids went all the way through. Dr. Delgado remained a advocate for Stephen, and his neurology professional for until he was 18. And then we, of course, started to age out of the public school system. He went to a transition program through his school district, which helped him get his job and job coach him through his job, which he still has. And thank Studio Movie Grill for being so open to allowing our special needs community to have employment there. And we struggled all the way through. I went from nonverbal, non-academic. Stephen does not read. He does not write.
Can he communicate?
But he communicates. He's very verbal. He's funny. He's compassionate. He's attention-seeking, sometimes very inappropriately. But, you know, we feel blessed that we are kind of in this sweet spot. If you're going to have a disability and have to deal with it, Stephen's manageable. But his frustration level, at 8, he began having seizures. So he started dealing with that. And then aggression and frustration levels just off the charts.
And some of that aggression taken out on you all, the family,
yes,
right?
Yes, the family. And especially me, because I am this primary caregiver. I'm the one home with him, and bless Steve for working so hard so that I could stay home and be with the kids, all three of them.
So now as he becomes an adult, you start to think, wow, okay, it's one thing when he's a child, but what are we going to do as an adult? And that's got to be a very daunting thing. Our son is 12, so we're, you know, so years away from adulthood. But it's always in the back of a parent's mind, like, okay, it's when he's little, and it's one thing, but especially, you know, what's going to happen when we're gone? You know, maybe you can bring your daughters into the picture, because this is a family affair. How does this affect the entire dynamic of the family in particular? What would your daughters say if they were here?
For sure. We have focused on this and them a lot, because Stephen, having a brother with special needs, has affected so many little details of their life, whether it be going to church. Believe it or not, we have had some bad experiences at church when he was younger and his behavior, and all the way through their adulthood and his adulthood. So it's very stressful for the entire family. And we've always told our girls, Stephen needs sisters. He doesn't need an extra set of parents. Mm-hmm. That's our job. And we are going to work our whole living lives to be good parents and be good stewards of Stephen and be good stewards of you. We want to set this up so that you are not responsible for taking our role. So there will be a day when we're not here to be his parents, and you will be responsible for looking out for his best interests and his finances. But we are working so hard to set him up for success as an independent adult with special needs. Mm-hmm. And so that started with, where is Stephen going to live?
As an adult.
We have researched and looked at a lot of options. There are a lot of residential housing options in the Metroplex for our special needs community. And you have to choose the solution that works for you in all aspects. Whether I always say, if you've met a person with special needs, you've met one person with special needs.
Which makes it kind of tough sometimes, because your story, you know, your and Steve's story with Stephen is very unique, and our story with Patrick is very unique. And so sometimes we're like, okay, this was good for them, but we're different and our kid's different. And so what would you say to that, to somebody that says, yeah, amen, every kid is different. And our kid may not respond the same as Stephen did. And so how do we handle that dynamic?
Unfortunately, it's a lot of trial and error. So I would say your key component is prayer. Let God bring to you the ideas that he wants to bring. Because what we've experienced is that the right people tend to come in your life. Mm-hmm. And maybe not at the right time, but you keep them in your back pocket, and you don't make enemies along the way, because you're going to need, you may need that person someday. And, you know, we've always been willing to help out other people too. And so then they, when we need them, they help us. It's not plug and play, and it's a lot of trial and error. We trialed Stephen through medications. We trialed Stephen through behavior therapies, and some were successful and some were not. So you got to go with the scripture and hang in there.
I want to finish with that as well, if you can read it again at the end, because I know some people jump in and out of these interviews. And by the way, my guests, Steve and Sharon Metasana, parishioners at Mary Immaculate Parish in Farmers Branch, been married 37 years. They have three children. One of them is a special needs autistic son with autism, Stephen. He's 29 years old. And they also are the owners of the St. Thorlack House. So I'd like to transition into this, because this is what really the primary topic that we're talking about. But now that we've kind of set the stage and they know the background and about Stephen and your family, what is the St. Thorlack House? And who is St. Thorlack?
Never heard of him. Oh my gosh, St. Thorlack has an amazing story. There's actually a book out there about St. Thorlack. So, of course, there was no diagnosis of autism, but when we study his life, it is thought to be believed that he must have been on the spectrum.
St. Thorlack himself.
St. Thorlack himself.
Right. Where did
he live? Was a Nordic bishop.
Okay.
Very structured, very just by the book. Here are the rules. We're going to follow the rules, which if you know someone with autism, you know that that can be a very strong attribute in their life.
Uh-huh.
And so St. Thorlack, when we decided to name the house, we prayed on that. And actually our daughter Madeline discovered St. Thorlack and said, you should read about this saint and think about him as our patron saint of the house. So He is patron saint of autism.
Is that right? That's funny. I've never known that. I never even knew there was such a saint.
I've seen one icon of him, and because I would love to, you know, give the kids that come and live at our house medals or something, but yeah. I think I'd have to have it special made. So St. Thorlack House is a companion care home, which is a model that Steve and I chose that works well for our family. It is managed by a provider. So if you know anything about the world of special needs and waiver programs, you have to choose a provider when you receive the waiver program. Stephen is not on the waiver program yet. He has been waiting and waiting and waiting, as you all know. It's a long thing. So if you have a special needs child and you're not on this interest list for... that is key.
That's one of the key things I would say as a parent, when you realize or you get that diagnosis of autism or Downs or whatever on that spectrum, to put your child on that waiting list. Mm-hmm. Because it's years. Yeah. And we're talking Texas here, so it's just a long, long waiting list, and it's so essential to getting that reimbursement from the state to be able to afford these kind of homes. We're doing private pay right now, but we're probably still 5-6 years away from getting getting the HCS waiver.
All right, and so the St. Thorlack House is one of numerous ones across the DFW Metroplex companion care homes. Tell us about E&E and how does that all tie in? There's a lady named Ashley Erickson, Ursuline grad, like yourself. How does this all kind of?
It takes three for me. She was introduced to me three separate times by a classmate first, and I didn't feel like we were ready. I spoke with her, and I didn't feel like we were ready. Then we were introduced to her on a webinar where we were trying to learn about what is a companion care home, how do you set one up, would this be a good fit for us? And then she was introduced to us through another family who we met with. Once we kind of decided on companion care, we met with another family who was already running their companion care home, and that mentor also mentioned Ashley, and I said, okay, Lord, Ashley's who we need. So E&E is the provider who manages our St. Thorlack companion care home. It is a resident it's a home that we own. So we're the landlords
in a neighborhood,
a regular neighborhood. And we own the home. So we're the landlords. Stephen is a tenant in the home. He pays rent to, St. Thorlack LLC. And, Ashley's company, E&E, they are the managing company. So as Steve mentioned, we are private pay in our home, but we also have, Stephen has a roommate who is on the waiver program. This is affordable housing for special needs adults. Any IDD diagnosis is acceptable. And there's a 24/7 caregiver. This is what we like about this model is the consistency of one caregiver. It's not shift work. It is one guy who gets to know his companions, that's the name, mm-hmm. and they become a little family. Yeah. And the other parents become our family, and we all work together. And we have to, because once a month, the boys go home to their families and give the caregiver an entire weekend off. So from Friday afternoon until Monday morning, he has that weekend off. And
which is also a blessing to y'all because you get to spend some extra time with Steven,
absolutely.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
We love spending time with our boy, but we love the independence that he has gained. Our family, our entire family has benefited from the development of this house. We have a little bit of respite. Stephen has a ton of independence, and he's happy and he loves his life. My daughters feel a sense of relief. Mom and Dad kept their promise. They are providing for Stephen what he needs in support to live independently, and it will be our job to oversee that you know, process. Now we're already in the thought process of, okay, what does happen? You mentioned that. What does happen when we're not here? Okay, is that going to mean my daughters have to take Stephen every once a month for the weekend? No, maybe we need to set up the next phase. Mm-hmm. When mom and dad aren't available to take Stephen home for the weekend, what is our backup plan? And we're working with E&E and we're working on praying about that and deciding what will be the step as we get older. Because it may not be when we're gone. It may be when we're aged and we just really can't handle a whole weekend.
But you take one phase at a time. And
all through life.
Unfortunately, I'm just down to a few minutes here. And Stephen Sharon Metasano are my guests. Their son, Stephen, is 29 years old, and he is at a companion care home that they own, St. Thorlack House. And I do want to mention that, and I think you kind of alluded to this, is that Stephen is able to have a job. Somebody's able to drive him. He also goes to a place called Harrow's Academy. So he's not like stuck in the house all the time. He's able to get out
and
do things. And you said a very dignified and a life that he enjoys, which is great. And I want to make sure that we get in this, because I know this is very important to y'all, is that you're looking for another companion or two, right? Tell us about that. Who's the right person for this? And perhaps the parents or the siblings are listening right now. Who are you looking for?
We are looking for an adult male. You know, age is not that critical, because a good fit for the home isn't really age related as much as it is, you know, ability level, so that our caregiver kind of has a consistency. So if you know anything about the special needs level of need, LON, if your child has been, you know, tested for that or diagnosed with, you know, an LON, we're looking for a level of need of a 5 or an 8, somewhat independent, but an adult male that has ability to be busy during the week. That's also time that the caregiver gets off. So they need to be a part of a day programming or work program or combination of the two, and willing to participate in, you know, being part of this family. That means doing chores and helping with dinner and cleanup and, you know, being active. The boys go to the rec center and work out. They go to their day programming. They go to work. They socialize. They have dinner together. They pray together. Being a Catholic is not a requirement, but we have a good Christian home.
Yeah. Let me just close out. First of all, thank you. This has been it's just been very edifying for me. I said we're going to finish with that scripture verse. Maybe, I don't know if we'll have time for that,
okay.
But I do want to ask you for contact information. If somebody's interested, website, phone number, and then if I don't, maybe we can just say what that verse is and people can look it up, because I ran out of time, unfortunately.
Right.
But what is the verse from
Jeremiah 9? Oh, I'm sorry.
Jeremiah 9. It came from the Hallow app this week. It's so perfect, especially for somebody like a family like ours, who are like, what in the world are we going to do? And the message is, trust in the Lord, because he's not going to abandon us. But contact information real quickly before
we
wrap up.
It's Sharon Mentisana. Unfortunately, do not have a website, but I can be reached through email at sment@verizon.net. And my cell phone number is 214-478-3728. I would love to pray with you, talk with you, mentor you, and provide your son with a home.
All right. Let me just repeat that real quickly. 214-478-3728 or sment@verizon.net. And so we'll have to close this real quickly. But thank you so much. This has been very edifying. And thank you for joining and being here at the studio. Thanks also to Cecil Anderson. This has been the interview of the week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. I'm Dave Palmer, and I hope you have a very blessed rest of your weekend. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us for this week's KATH 910 AM Interview of the Week. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Catholic news and information pertinent to North Texas Catholics. Please join us again next week at this same time for another KATH 910 AM Interview of the Week.
St. Joseph Partners is a proud sponsor of the Guadalupe Radio Network. St. Joseph Partners helps investors diversify with physical gold, silver, and precious metals. The name St. Joseph Partners was chosen because St. Joseph likely used the gold from the wise men to protect and provide for the Holy Family in Egypt. Every time a GRN listener purchases gold through St. Joseph Partners, a significant portion of that investment supports Catholic Radio. You can learn more about St. Joseph Partners by visiting stjosephpartners.com and mentioning the Guadalupe Radio Network.
The next St. Andrew Breakfast will be held on Saturday morning, March 14th, from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. at St. Patrick Cathedral in Fort Worth. A St. Andrew Breakfast is a discernment event that provides opportunities to learn more about the priesthood and seminary life. The morning will begin with Mass, followed by breakfast and fellowship. All young men in high school and college are encouraged to attend. For more details, visit the Diocese of Fort Worth website at fwdioc.org.
All GRN listeners are invited to a Lenten evening of faith, fellowship, and renewal on Saturday, March 28th at St. Michael the Archangel Parish in McKinney. That night, Catholic Brain will host Return to the Table, Rediscovering the Power of the Eucharist. The keynote speaker will be Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and I, Dave Palmer, will be the MC. While there, you'll learn about a new film called Come to Mass, which will help the next generation of Catholics fall in love with the Mass and the Eucharist. Visit cometomass.com to get your tickets today.
I'm Nick De La Torre, host of Morning Joy, where truth matters. How do you start your mornings? What about beginning each day with prayer, Bible meditations, a Catholic look at the news, a little brain exercise, and a supportive group of Catholic friends? Morning Joy is what you want. Tune in each weekday starting at 6 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Eastern, and that is exactly what you'll find. Can't listen live that early? You can also subscribe to the Morning Joy podcast. Let's make it the best day ever.
Hi, this is Julie Carrick, host of We Sing Our Faith. I'm happy to be part of the Guadalupe Radio Network. One of the songs I'd like to share with you today is called Hold Me Jesus, written by Rich Mullins, and I had the opportunity to record this with a couple members of the Ragamuffin Band. So now from We Sing Our Faith, Julie Carrick, Hold Me Jesus.
Sometimes my life just don't make sense at all. When the mountains look so big and my faith just seems so small. So hold me, Jesus, I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? And I wake up in the night and feel the dark. It's so hot inside my soul. I swear there must be blisters on my heart. So Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? I'm singing, hold me, Jesus, I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? of peace.
Hello, this is Julie Carrick, host of We Sing Our Faith on the Guadalupe Radio Network. I want to share with you a song from my album Shades of Grace, the song Mother of Grace. Of course, it is the Hail Mary set to music, as well as that beautiful prayer of St. Bernard of Clairvaux, the Memorare. So from Shades of Grace, Mother of Grace. And of course, more information can be found at WeSingOurFaith.org or JulieCarrick.com. Now, Mother of Grace.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord our God is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.
Thanks for listening to KATH 910 AM Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth, and North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, Catholic radio for your soul. Heard also at grnonline.com and on your smartphone.